right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 75. It's been a while.
Is 77.
Okay. Just cut it.
I wrote it at the top of our notes.
Note will say, yeah, I don't read anything you put in there. I'm just kidding. The Old Moon Podcast, episode 77. I'm your host, Blue Squadron, joined as always by Jay.
Hi, my name is Jaken VT. I do a lot of endgame content such as Olens, the dungeons, bot splits. My static is currently progressing on Deposed Prince on hard mode. We almost got him down. I think our closest was like a couple 5% pulls, but hopefully we'll get him down on Wednesday. And you can find us live over at twitch.tv/JakenVT, V before the T.
Right on. And my boy Blonde, who is literally never live and doesn't do any work for anything. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear, where I sometimes stream for 1 or 2 hours a day, where I grind a spot and chill and chat. And I also am in Jaken's group where we're doing hard mode to pose Crown Prince, and he's really hard, but we've almost got it. I'm very excited.
Who's really hard?
Depose Crown Prince hard mode is really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very hard. Yeah,
it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I watched Cadmium Sheep doing it last night. That was pretty cool.
It's fun. It's a fun way to get better at something that you thought you wouldn't be able to, in my opinion.
All right, so we have a lot to talk about because we have not met since right before the Kalfeon ball. And now we've seen kind of what they talked about at the ball and then what has happened since the ball. So we're going to talk about that, how the Black Desert population has been doing a little bit, kind of the state of the game and where we think the game is kind of moving towards at this point. I'm going to start with Blonde. Blonde, what was the most exciting thing you heard about at the ball and then the most exciting thing we've gotten since?
Most exciting thing in the ball was fourth. That's tough. It's kind of a toss up between dungeon number 4 and the new region. I'm probably going to go with the new region. I think that is probably one of the coolest announcements. Okay, never mind. I mean the dungeon. Oh man, I think the dungeon is going to be so cool. I've been waiting for the fourth dungeon forever. I'm so excited. I love doing the dungeons. I had a break where I didn't do them for a few months, but I just started doing them with my boss splits group. It just kind of worked out like that. And
are you cheating on me with your new dungeon group? You know how much I love to do the dungeon.
Your attendance has been very lacking lately, Blue.
You know how much I love to do the dungeon. It's ridiculous, Blonde, that you would not include me.
Oh, so true. I do know how much you love doing the dungeon, especially when you get a prior duo from it, and then you say, oh, we have to do a second one because you got lucky. That's my favorite part. I am excited for the fourth dungeon. They also announced in combination with that there also is going to be grind spots in these dungeons. They're going to make dynamic grind spots that you can go in and clear with your friends, and I think that's so cool to use in underutilized space that, you know, maybe you did it during the launch, maybe you did the quest line. You don't really have to anymore nowadays, but I think that's honestly really cool. And the fourth dungeon, I'm really excited for. We've made a lot of gear gaps. I think we're like literally 50 gear score plus above what the highest rec was for the current dungeons. And like, I did them this week with Jay, and I mean, we did it with our eyes closed. It was kind of sad. So I'm excited. The fourth dungeon is one of the bigger things. Jay's going to talk about my second favorite thing, though.
All right, Jay, what was your favorite thing that you heard at the dungeon? At the ball, and why was it the dungeon?
Wait. You said what's the coolest thing that's come out so far?
And what's the coolest thing that's come out so far,
I gotta say that. Probably the life skill stuff. A friend of mine told me like 6+ months ago he felt the new hideout. I'm not, but I have a lot of friends who are life skillers, and my friend predicted like 6+ months ago, he said based on the banner that they used for the Kalfeon ball that it was going to be a life skill update kind of thing, and I was like, no shot, there's no way, and he totally predicted. I was like, no way. That was Jordan TV, by the way. He's like, I think it's gonna be life skill based, and I was like, okay, cool. So then here it went, and I was like, okay, I know it's not perfect, but it's something. The increased mastery, the new accessories, we're pushing it all into the next stage, so then, you know, hopefully more gets done. But yeah, listen, that's cool. I think that's cool. That's come out right now, right? Like the accessories or whatever, and we got the new Manos chair and all that stuff, and yeah, cool stuff. I like that.
Yeah, insane. Now Jay, before Blonde so rudely interrupted you, go ahead.
My bad.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm really, really excited for the brand new region, mostly because they announced that this is like the finale chapter of the first 10 years of BDO, and that Caphras, right, the immortal alchemist, we're actually gonna fight him. He's the final boss. That's the big baddie. That's him. We've been shoving his stones, you know, in our gear and our asses for the past decade. So Yeah, we're here. We made it. And I think they only revealed like four out of the five. There was like going to be five zones. Mm-hmm. And the different zones looked really, really cool. Right, like the domain of Anslar with like the Valkyries, the Hashishin area with the, you know, the, I think it was the gates to El Yaeli or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jordine's castle and Kafris's domain. And we don't know like the fifth one, but hopefully it looks really cool. And I'm like wondering if Kafris is the final boss, like what's next? Like who's going to be the next antagonist? Because I think the Elezra, right? I think we're fighting Elezra for the final dungeon, right? In Orzechia.
Elezra is the boss for final dungeon, and her story's going to finalize in the
new. So who's going to be our new antagonist? So I guess we'll find out. So
well, who's next? It's literally Elezra. It's Kafras, and then above Kafras, is like literally the Sauron. Wait,
Hadoom? Maybe we find Hadoom or something like that.
You guys are on such.
Hadoom's like literally the next guy in line. There's nothing else. It's Hadoom, then Kafras, and Elezra's like kind of on the side there.
No, you guys are on Cope. Mm. This entire dungeon was to like defeat Elezra. Right?
Right.
The whole thing was to defeat Elezra. Right. And then the fourth level of the dungeon isn't fighting Elezra.
Well, we don't know that.
I don't know, man. The way they made it sound, it didn't look like we were going to be fighting Elezra. Like there was going to be some.
Were we fighting some sort of Dark Knight?
Some like boss? Other thing. Right?
Listen, we're still not fighting Elezra. The dungeon is going to be the finale of Elezra's story. Like this is the last big fight. And then the final region is going to be the finale to her story where there's like an ending quest line with her stuff, the fifth area.
We don't even know what her story is, though. That's the problem with this crazy psycho bitch. Like, pardon my French, but not really. Like, what is she doing? She just shows up. She puts her hands on balls all the time. Either she's putting her hand on Zarka or she's putting her hand on a ball. Shit explodes. She tries to shank us in the back. We have no idea what this woman is doing, why she's here, but we know she's literally behind everything. Every time I get to it at the end of one, like a succession quest line, it's like, oh, Elezra again? No way. Like, we have no idea. What is this woman?
The last boss is Jay.
Okay, Elezra is our characters as we start BDO have amnesia, right? Because we get implanted with Black Spirit and we get amnesia because we were the adventurers that helped her get into the history of ruins to unlock the Black Spirits that were locked away in there, right? And then one rogue Black Spirit went into us and she got mad and killed us or whatever right before he went and found her body, resurrected us. We have amnesia. The Black Spirit that's with us has amnesia. So she was with our adventuring party. That's why in our Succession and Awakening quest lines, like we use the memory or whatever of her to recall our past memories to learn those like skill sets that our characters have, right? She was, because just as much as like we don't know her, we technically don't know our own characters' selves prior to us starting the storyline, right? So for all we know, we were a bad guy along with her the whole time. But like, what are her intentions and what does she do? I think that's going to be finalized in like the new stuff, right? Have you done any of the new revamp quest lines from like Calpheon and like all that stuff? Like, have you done any of those new revamped lines?
I have not.
I did the Jordine saga on my. I've done the Jordine saga, and yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I did it on my Iron Man. It was actually very difficult, but that was because, again, I couldn't use any of the Naru gear or anything they were giving me. But like the ending was like super omega giga awesome, but we had no idea why we were there. Is again, the problem with the quest line is there's so much yapping that like no one is going to sit there and read all that dialogue. It's just not going to happen. Okay. And then like, if you just sit there, no one's going to sit there and listen to the voice actor too. If you sit there and have them talk for like 40 minutes at a time, they're just going to speed through it. It is what it is.
I don't know what else you want. I don't know what this character is. Gives you a 40-minute cutscene that explains it. And you're, I don't want to listen to
40-minute cutscene? Okay, there's the problem.
I'm kind of confused.
It was a lot. And the funny thing is, Jay, we're not even exaggerating. The final Calpheon like quest or whatever that you have to go through to fight like 8 bosses. There's like cutscene after cutscene after cutscene. You don't really know what's going on, but it looks really epic, pretty cool. But like, you know, and then you finally, it ends and you're like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But like, again, you're just really, there's no major plot hook in the Black Desert storyline. And I've said this many times, there's no like hook to get you invested even that's early fair. On. You kind of just stumble into the world and you're like, you're confused as to what's going on. And then by the end of the quest line, you're still confused as to what is going on or why you're in the world. There's no like alliance versus horde situation. There's no like you spawn in and there's some Final Fantasy epic reason that you have to go kill these bosses or triumph against your foes. It's literally just you're just stumbling through meeting people and like talking to various NPCs. It just doesn't make much sense. The only storyline that we have that really makes any sense at all is Land of the Morning Light, and the only reason that's even marginally better than the rest of them is because it actually makes congruent sense. Like, okay, yeah, based on like the shorter cutscenes here, there's like little things going on in each town, right? There's little things going on in each city, and you have to go solve each of the problems each city has, and then there's an overarching storyline going on with all of it. Okay, it kind of makes sense, right? And you're a little bit gripped towards the end of the first quest line, but I wasn't gripped enough that I was like, okay, yeah, I'm super excited about the next one necessarily. I mean, it was... The Land of the Morning Light was at least a passable storyline. The rest of the game, and they reworked the Jordine saga. And again, the end, pretty badass and cool, but again, you have no reason why you're here. Like, even the... like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to ask. Blonde, you're one of the most educated on terms of overall, like, BDO lore in the entire game. You've been playing the game for probably 8 years now, right? In your opinion, why is your character here?
Okay, so our adventurer, as I was saying, worked with Elezra on some unknown plan that we don't know yet to obtain the power of the Black Spirits. And at the last second in our storyline, which is the beginning of our storyline, she betrays us and knocks us out. We are revived by that Black Spirit. So I do agree. I do agree on your merit that there is no hook and not, like, there's nothing cool about a mysterious character that you end up not finding out about until the end of their storyline when they're like, oh, hey, this is all the crazy stuff they've done. And actually, they're not a villain. And they're a hero or this or that. I agree. I think that the problem is that we've had so many revamps, and there's the BDO is a really, really big world with a lot of just random stuff going on. And so I think it is just difficult for them to be like, all right, here's one big baddie, because we don't just have one big baddie, right? We have like the Jordine saga, which is pretty interesting. We have Elezra and her Five Rings crew in Medaya, who tried to bring back the Moon of Darkness or whatever to have the whatever the freaking thing happened in Medaya to basically get the super Sork book, right?
No one cares.
We've also got Kaffirs, the immortal alchemist, who is working with Hadoom to bring him into our realm, which the elves came from their literal elf realm into our world to like escape from Hadoom because he was gaining too much power. Right. And then we have Marnie, who's also just like this. He has a time traveling teleporter pulling people from the American Wild Wild West ability. Right. I agree that there's no big main hook, and they've kind of revamped a lot of storylines to make that nice. And each region has their own little parcel of stuff, and there isn't anything overarchingly connecting these things. I get that. But there is tons of little sprinkles of like Hadoom's influence in the Elvia realm is something that's kind of put throughout all of the Balanos-Serendia region, right? Into now the Kalfion region, which we then have the Star's End spot, which is where Hadoom was going to be summoned into our world for like the second or third time from the Star's End giant meteor thing where he was going to come in. So there's a lot. It's just there's a lot. It's a very, very rich world. It's just it's all you're it's
Here's
not like a movie where they're directing it in front of you easily and plainly. You're just a person living in the world and things are happening around you. And unless you become a historian, you're not gonna figure it out. Which I agree is a bad way to tell the story for your common person.
That's actually not
which
true.
I think they're gonna be tying it
you're
up.
You're the
for
main
soon.
Character of the story. That's not true. You're not just like things are happening around you and all this shit's going on. That would be cooler in my opinion. That's how World of Warcraft is.
Have you ever
is.
Seen the movie Memento?
That's how
have
WoW
you ever seen
is.
The movie Memento?
No.
Right, but okay, hold on.
But no, my point is you have situations in World of Warcraft where like this is like literally an insane scene. And like this is after defeating, what is it, Arthas or whatever the Fall of the Lich King ending. Like, let's just listen to this for like 2 seconds.
You're talking about something from 20 years ago. What about the last 20
years
of garbage
storyline? Today? What are we talking about? Listen
to this. Okay, but I agree. Hold on. The World of Warcraft Lich King expansion and all of Warcraft 1, 2, and 3 was built on the amazing storylines that these people built.
Yeah,
everything,
that's my point.
Right? Okay, but that was 20 plus years ago from people that actually had passion versus now the World of Warcraft storyline over the last 20 plus years has sucked more than like anything. It's just, it's terrible.
Okay,
that's like 10 to 15 years, sorry, of World of Warcraft is garbage. It's like the worst because when they create world-ending villains after world-ending villain after world-ending villain, it's boring. Nobody like cares or likes the WoW story anymore.
Just listen to this.
Listen, I love Lich King.
Just,
okay?
just.
Father, is it over?
At long last. No king rules forever, my son.
I see. Only darkness before me.
I bet I just gripped the entire Black Desert community more on a story in about 15 seconds than the entire Black Desert Online Garbanzo 10,000 quest story could possibly imagine. Okay.
You're comparing the best World of Warcraft expansion and story accumulation to like an average regular other thing. You just can't compare.
Just no context.
It's like comparing.
Yes, I can.
It's like comparing like Endgame to like any current Marvel movie because they're all garbage, but Endgame was
That's
good.
Not true at
like
all.
It's just
That's
it's
not true
it's,
at all. The Marvel movies were good too. That's the problem. Is that the BDS entire storyline is terrible.
What's the last good Marvel movie you watched?
I don't know. Like,
did you see Kraven the Hunter?
No. God, I'm blanking on the magician. What's his name?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange's movies are amazing. I loved all the Spider-Man movies. Were amazing. All the recent Spider-Man movies.
Spider-Man's a goat.
Yeah. See, all the Iron Man movies are great.
What about Kraven? Did you see Kraven? Did you see the other Venom movie?
Oh, Venom. Did you see the other Ant-Man? Love the Venom movies. The Venom movies.
Venom movies were fun to watch, but they weren't very good. Did you watch the Ant-Man movie?
Yeah, I like that too.
Okay, that movie was also garbage. I'm sorry to tell you.
That
was
movie
garbage,
was great.
Okay?
I liked that movie. Maybe it's the new one I didn't watch. I like both the Ant-Man movies.
Listen, I'm just saying that you're comparing like the best of the best to like BDO's like average.
You can't even say that that's the best of the best. Final Fantasy supposedly has the best storyline in the MMO genre.
Just in World of Warcraft Spectrum, you don't think that the Lich King storyline is the best story they've had to offer?
I don't even know World of Warcraft story. I've just seen some of their cinematics and I'm like, holy shit, that's gripping. It makes me want to play the game.
Okay, well, I feel that. And that made me play the game back when it was the current thing. Back when it was like the actual thing live, but now it's I'm sorry, but it's all garbage. Blizzard is sold out and their content over the last 15 years has been garbage. So I don't play WoW anymore.
But my point is, if we're talking about
the story content,
it's garbage. All of the storylines for all of Black Desert Online are just complete dog shit.
I agree it's not its strongest point, but they've been working on it. They've been doing better, right?
No one cares. Like, it's okay. No one gives a shit about the story anyway. It's fine. As far as the gameplay goes, you look at the dungeons. I'll be honest with you. I do some of the dungeons in Hardcore Classic WoW that are like 18 years old, 17 years old. Still better than BDO, of BDO's
dungeons.
Those
were the good days.
It's not even a fucking question.
That was when it was good.
I don't understand what it is about like this need to have like these open world dungeons, right? And stuff like, I don't know. We go into the instance, we're locked in together. We all have to do the same pull. We all have to do it correctly. Like, that's fun. Like the BDO dungeons. The reason I'm not like super excited necessarily for the fourth one is like, I don't know. I don't really feel like I have to work together with my teammates in any of the previous dungeons. It's not like boss blitz. If it was like the guild boss blitz, I think is the first time that they really nailed group content in BDO, where it's like, okay, you have to work together for a common goal. Everyone must do their job or you're basically resetting, right? It's really challenging and there's really good rewards at the end. The dungeon, it's just not there. You can basically just, no one really has to do the mechanics. You can basically just sail straight through it. Like, it's even on day one, I bet people just sail straight through the fourth dungeon. I will almost guarantee people just, maybe you have to like learn like one or two mechanics, but they're just going to out DPS the dungeon. Because there's no way they can make it
Are you trolling?
Hard enough. No, I'm just being serious. Like, name.
How long do you think it took people to do the dungeon number two when it came out?
It was, dungeon number two was conquered within 24 hours of the dungeon's release.
Right.
And I remember watching North America.
You sure?
Well, actually, no, it had to be Korea. Korea had it first, right?
Uh-huh.
So it had to be Korea.
It was Korea. They had a 2 week head start or 1 week head start or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But once everyone else got it, I remember watching all the BDO partners do it.
Uh huh.
And I think the NA.
And we didn't beat it for like almost a week, I'm pretty sure.
No, we beat it pretty quick. We beat it pretty quick.
No, there's no shot. I remember
And you're comparing this to the guild group boss blitz, by the way. When was the first time the deposed crown prince was actually beaten in North America, the hard version? I just want to say I was world first for the first version. the hard version, was beaten, I think, by Choice a month and a half after it came out. I think it was Choice's group was the first ones to actually do it. And that was really hard. Yeah. Everyone had to work together. It was like super fun and really challenging, fun content. That being said, again, I don't really think the dungeon's going to be all that great. We'll see. I think it'll be hype. It'll be fun. But like, I think that it's going to be just like the other three because they just can't get this right. Again, but we're going to see. I think that
we'll see about that.
Let's look over at the rewards a little bit. The rewards and the ball. T10 Horus, thoughts? T10 Horus and Deck Tuvala with 10,000 Crown Stones with 3,000 Coffer Stones for new players. Thoughts? Do you think it's a step too far? Do you think it's fine? We'll start with Jay because he doesn't want to say anything.
Well, I don't watch any Marvel movies, so I was like, oh, let's let them debate about that. But it's like T10, 10-year anniversary, 10,000 crons. I think they just did that for the, you know, it kind of like lines up with that. I thought it was a pretty good reward compared to like previous ones. 10,000 crons is a lot, right? That's like 30 bill worth of stuff. And a T10 is, I think on average people tap it, about 60-70 bill worth of materials to tap it. If we were considering the prices back then for like Mithril of Feathers, how they were much harder to acquire back then, the amount of time spent. And so I thought it was like the biggest reward so far. I was not disappointed with what we got in terms of rewards. We got a bunch of hammers too, free taps on our Karazat, free taps on our Sovereign. I didn't get anything with my hammers again as usual. I was not disappointed. With the rewards.
Well, do you think that it's like new? Come on, Jay. New players. Do you think that new players, like they're giving away another Pen Blackstar, right? They're giving away the deck Karazhan, 3,000 Crown Stones, all of this stuff. New players are coming out of seasonal with the equivalent of like 620 gear score off the bat with the ability to get to 650. Okay. Yeah, with the ability to get to 650, 670 in about 2 weeks,
Here's the thing. So I'm sure most people can agree that most like MMORPGs, like, okay, so Bido's been out for like 10 years, right? So this game has so many systems, you know, the free Pen Black Stars, the, you know, guaranteed enhancement systems, and now the introduction of, you know, the Deck Tuvala weapons. So I feel like, it's like, the goalpost is like constantly being moved, right? It's you know, there's some veteran players that feel like the catch-up mechanics kind of like diminish their efforts, right? Like, I mean, I got my Pen Blackstars, I got my mythical T10. Like, it took me like 68 attempts to get my first one. This was no fail stacks. It was flat 3% chance, and it was like, you know, weekly time-gated stuff, right? And it definitely feels like, oh, it sucks. Like when they see a new player get something that was much harder to acquire, but at the same time, it lowers the barrier of entry. It makes the content much more accessible overall. And then, you know, especially if you don't have much time to dedicate, there's like a lot more players getting into the game. And I think more people playing BDO is a good thing. And that's why they're doing all these like, you know, catch-up mechanics and free stuff to get more people into the game. But at the same time, even though they're adding these catch-up mechanics, again, they're power creeping the goalpost forward, right? Now we have Sovereign weapons with, you know, up to deck, Karazhan accessories up to deck. Now we have pre-owned accessories up to deck. A lot of these materials for these items and other systems, you know, they made it continuously relevant, right? We can melt down those like pen accessories for like the Essence of Dawns and whatnot. You can melt down this item or that item, X or Y item for materials, or it's used for the part of the next final upgrade. So I think that even though we're getting a lot of these catch-up mechanics, they are moving the goalposts forward so that we can still continually have things to do. So, I think it's a good thing that they are handing out like free handouts so that they can get started, because getting from zero to Pen Blackstar is very, very hard to a new player, right? It's, they don't know the systems, they're still getting used to it. And so, yeah, I'm with them on giving away free stuff, even though I'm a veteran player. And even though I think that, you know, my efforts back then, like if I just waited, right, it would have been much easier. It makes sense to me that they are making older systems much easier to get nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say that normally Black Desert does an exceptional job of making sure that your progress long-term is appreciated and considered, right? Mm-hmm. I would say that fell off a cliff with Karazhan overall. And so now I feel like a new player can reach my gear score in a month. Like, no problem. Playing the game 7 years. I've kind of just like, I don't know.
It's a good thing though, right?
Not necessarily. As a veteran player, I'm just like, well, why don't I just wait with the new players and just keep getting free stuff?
Do you think it's a good thing that normal people can catch up?
No. I think it's fine. But like, it also, I think there's a part of this that's like, they've devalued a lot of the work that a lot of people did forever ago. And so from a veteran player standpoint, from a new player standpoint, amazing. Now you're catching up really quickly. But from a veteran player standpoint, why don't I just sit here and AFK fish and wait for them to just give me another Ben Blackstar? You know, like, okay, like I can see it being completely demotivating for a lot of players just to be like, well, fishing makes like $1 billion a day and they keep handing away all this free stuff via events and stuff. So like, why don't I just like wait like everybody else? And then I don't have to work and I'll just keep getting gear handed to me for free, you know? All right, Blanco.
But do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
It's like, so the viewpoint for me is that I got my Penn Blackstar back in like the start of 2020, and then they gave away a free one in 2024. So I got those 4 years to spend with my Blackstar. Same thing with my T10. I got my T10 at the end of 2021, and we got a free T10 3-4 years later. And so I kind of like value the time that I've been able to utilize all of that extra stuff, if that makes sense. So that's kind of like, that's why I'm okay with them just giving away, like, after like a couple years, now they're giving it for free and stuff. Cause I got to like have the fun with it. If that makes sense. Like, I value the fun that I've had and the time that I've had with my Penn Blackstar before they gave it away, or my T10 before they gave it away. So that's where I'm kind of like viewing it from, and my thought process for why it's okay for me at least.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are pretty far ahead, so you're not really concerned about it. And I'm going to be clear, I don't really care that all the new players are just going to go right by us. Like, that's sure. The biggest problem, I think, is that at the ball, there was a moment where they just leveled. His name's W, right?
Wanyu.
Okay, Wanyu. That's right. We're going to call him YJ. Yeah. So there was a point at the ball where YJ sat there and he had like this moment with the PvP community, which was who he really needed to talk to, I think, at this ball to try to bring them back. And he was like, yeah, we're going to move toward more of a PvP end game focus again. Like, he literally admitted like, okay, yeah, I think that we've overstepped here and we need to move back to kind of our roots on this one. And so they said that they were going to make changes and that they were planning all these changes. And then they showed absolutely nothing. And I said at the ball, I said, man, I think that was a great speech. I think it bought them about 2 months of goodwill. I think that people log in, they get a bunch of the rewards, they get hyped about the game and stuff. But I think if they don't start delivering on a lot of the changes that they promised at the ball with regards to PvP, that the game just falls right back to where it was. And we're right back to square one again on this one. And like, I understand that neither of you PvPs, so you're probably not going to see it from that perspective. I think that they delivered on Deadeye, which in my opinion has been, I love Deadeye. She's like my favorite class that they've come out with in years. I've been absolutely loving it. I even rolled the weapons off of my witch to my Dark Knight and retired the witch. I moved into the Dark Knight and then tagged the Deadeye. Yeah, and the reason I did that is because I do feel like that PvP is dead. And so, like, there's no real reason to have the Awakening Witch anymore. The reason that I had the Awakening Witch in the first place is to shot call, to lead, and to set the example, right? Because you can heal, you can support, you can PA, all of those things, which has a purpose in large scale, especially as a shot caller. It's one of the better shot calling classes in the game. And that's why I picked up the witch in the first place. Well, that purpose is now gone. And like, even though at the ball, they were like, yeah, we're going to make all these strides, we have heard literally nothing since the ball happened about a month ago now, almost a month exactly ago now. And like, again, they've made changes. They came out with Deadeye. We had the big life skilling patch, right? And all this stuff. But like, they said that the hardcore server is going to come out this month. And I don't feel like the hardcore servers are going to be crazy good if they don't bring back Node Wars and Siege. I think that the hardcore servers could pop off if they bring back Node Wars and Siege to like the communities. But like, again, they said that they were going to bring these Node Wars changes and they were working on Siege changes and they were working on changing how open world works and all this stuff. Nothing. We've heard nothing. It's been radio silence. And like, that is not a good thing. I will say, for what it's worth, they changed the expansion that we were getting because in order to focus more on PvP, they went from Mountain of Eternal Winter Part 2, because they announced at the previous ball that Mountain of Eternal Winter Part 2 was going to be the next expansion in the Black Desert universe. Okay. Then at this ball, it's, by the way, we're getting the Demon Zone. And the way I know how much development has actually happened for something at Pearl Abyss, when they announce it, you look and see how much of their like gameplay they're actually showing, right? There was no trailer. There were like static images, right? That means that development literally only just started. There is no way that we get that expansion maybe in December of this year. Like, it might be as late as December of 2025. We're going to get that. And I don't think that we can wait that long for the PvP changes in the game. The life skilling changes have been great, but I think that the hype from the ball is starting to decline a little bit now. And I think that the player base was doing well for a second. Everyone was like, oh my God, everyone's logging in. Everyone's having a great time. But again, we're going to start hitting this like second month phase here where I think it's going to start wearing off. And like all of these changes that they brought, it's been patch after patch after patch of like banger after banger after banger. You're getting Deadeye. Then you go into, they gave us one other set of stuff I'm forgetting. But then they gave us the life skilling patch on this most recent patch. And it's been great. But you could see that the numbers on Steam are already starting to head back downhill here, which is a little bit concerning to turn back around this quickly, especially when I felt like they did a lot of good at the ball to buy themselves some time here. I don't know. What do you guys think about it? Jay, I'll start with you.
I mean, I think it's kind of like a natural thing for, you know, the ball happens, like any ball happens, Huddle Ball, Calpheon Ball, players come back, get their free stuff, have fun with the game for like a month or two. I just feel like it's natural that, you know, the hype dies down after. At the same time, when it comes to like content releases, I view the balls as, hey, this is what we're working on the next 6 months. So, you know, obviously we haven't gotten, how long has it been since the ball? The ball was like December 12th.
It's been a month ago. It's been exactly a month.
And so I kind of view like the things they're talking about in Calpheon Ball are going to be happening over the next 6 months, and then it's Heidel Ball, and then Heidel Ball's content is happening over the next 6 months. And so I just view it as like that sort of like the hill slope graph or whatever, that, you know, Calpheon Ball, it's like, you know, rises on players and then Dukes goes down until Heidel Ball comes, and then it goes up and then it goes down.
Okay, but so, Jay,
I mean,
question.
Yeah.
So last year we were sitting at an average player base, like now we're peaking at where last year we were averaging, right? So like, that's not super great, right? Like if you look at back at the ball from the previous year, we peaked a lot higher, or where our average player base was reaching higher levels last year than it is this year. And now, again, we're headed back downhill again. I actually felt like the game was headed in a really positive direction, and I still do. Like, it's really solid, but like, again, what was this big speech about? Like, bro, they literally stopped for like half an hour and talked to the PvP player base and said that they were going to turn a bunch of stuff around, and there's been not a single lick of that in the patch notes. We haven't seen anything on the global labs. We have not heard anything about it. I expect hardcore servers to come out next global lab patch, but like, even then, even if we get hardcore servers, there's no PvPers playing the game right now. Like, you've got to bring them back to the game. I'm not sure the hardcore servers are necessarily going to do that job. I don't know. Blonde, I think that they've been doing a solid job. Jay, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I feel like I feel like every week we've been getting something new, right? Like, we've been getting like Deadeye, and then like the life skill changes, and now Voltarion's coming out next week. And so it's been only 4 weeks, and then we still got like five more months probably until the next Heidel Ball. So I kind of feel like, because we haven't seen anything from the PvP, they're just rolling out like staggering the content. Maybe there is like PvP stuff, we just don't know, but they're just prioritizing the stuff they have ready first, probably. That's kind of like the benefit of the doubt that I'm giving. As for the hardcore PvP servers, maybe I'll let Maybe I'll let Blonde talk about before we move
real
on.
Real quick, we have somebody in the chat. There's always some Coper in the chat that does this. Why don't you ever consider the launcher players? Why don't you ever consider those people? There's a lot of people that play on the launcher. And these are, again, players that they just don't understand how graphs work. So I'll explain it one more time. The way that Steam and Black Desert, I'd say they're about half and half. I've done many polls on this. I would say about half the people have it downloaded on Steam and then other half of the people have it downloaded on the launcher. A lot of the old launcher players don't play anymore anyway, or didn't transition their account over from Perlabis when Perlabis took over like 3 years ago. But what you're looking at on this graph is not necessarily the exact number. You're looking for the trend on the graph, right? The trend on the graph for the last year has been down. Then we had the ball, which is really good, right? So this is literally the week of the ball. Everyone gets really excited. Everyone logs in to get the rewards. And that's pretty usual. And I'll be honest with you, this peak is really, really good and very promising for the game. But again, I think that now we're starting to decline again from that hype. And as Jay said, that it's going to decline, right? Like there's always going to be some hype for the ball and then some players are going to quit again. The question is how many players are they going to retain post ball this time? Because I actually think that a lot of these players would absolutely stay around as long as they deliver on everything that they talked about at the ball. I really do. I think that BDO could be put in a position where it was better than it was before this huge decline that we saw like over a year ago now. Before we started this massive decline, I actually feel like they could just turn this around because BDO is still a great game. But like my problem is, I don't know, I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, okay, well, they have about another month and a half to deliver on all this stuff. And I'm sweating a little bit. So Blonde, what do you think about all this?
Okay. So I got some notes here because I didn't get to answer the last topic question. So I'm just going to run through my notes and get everything situated. So the question about new players catch up, the giveaways.
Didn't get to talk about that either. Go ahead.
It's okay. I wrote it all down. I got a lot to say. I think that when it comes to handouts and giveaways, I think that the player progression for the Tuvala stuff turning into like Karazhan stuff, I think that's a nice way to make players not have to go from Tuvala into boss gear back into the new boss gear. I think streamlining that is great. I think it's fantastic. I think that the Pen Blackstar that they gave away the last ball whatnot, I think that was okay because it had been 4 years, like Jay said they came out in like 2019, 2020, 2024 they decided to give it out during the summer ball or whatever, or was it the, I don't know, one of the balls. It was about 4 years for the gap for it to come out. I think that's fine. 4 years of a gap, plenty of time to have gotten it. It's a catch-up mechanic. I think that giving away a T10 when the T10s have only been out for a handful of years and they only recently lifted the pities and stuff, I'm not going to lie. I think that it's cool when they give you a sensor because that stuff is hard to make. So that's just nice because everybody gets an attempt. I think that handing out a full free T10, I think they thought that was going to be similar to when they gave out the T9 and everybody freaked out and everybody was like so excited. And I just think that was the wrong choice. I don't mind giving, and this is my opinion, right? I don't like free handouts. That's like the D10s are something you want to sort of earn by getting the you roll the dice and you get it, right?
It's a cosmetic though, right? It doesn't help for your gear. It's that you can't really count it necessarily as a catch-up mechanic. I agree with you, Blonde. To be clear, it's a cosmetic, so like I feel like you devalue it, right?
Yes, when it comes to things like, for example, if they give out a Nuvarakant outfit, I mean, even the fact that during the events they sell the Orzeka leaves at the vendor when you could just go grind Olens, I feel like that's also kind of cheap shotting. It's like, at what point are we going to be able to sell like the Nuvarakant armor from a vendor so no one ever has to go do Blood Moon or Blood Storm Nuvar? You could just buy it from a vendor. I feel like those kind of things, although they can be cool, I think it should not be something that is touched by a catch-up mechanic because the whole point of those things are to have gotten and achieved it yourself. I don't mind if they hand out sensors, attempts, fine, whatever. I think that's cool. I think giving out a whole horse basically puts a sour taste in everybody's mouth except for people that weren't going for it and just got a free one anyways. I think even the people that clicked it a bunch of times and worked really hard for their horses also feel really sour about that. I personally think that was a step in the wrong direction just on that specific point.
Agree.
Next point. You talked about the PvP 30-minute speech thing. Mm-hmm. I think that the vibe, it's interesting because there were different groups and different discords I listened to where they gave the 30-minute speech about PvP. The way that I interpreted it was that they were like, hey, you know, we know you guys had some fun times. We know PvP was good. The good old days, you know, learning and getting to that stuff. And that was cool. But And that was it. They just mentioned it was cool, and they liked that players liked that. I didn't take it at all as an interpretation of PA's like, yeah, we're going to get this back on track. Because in my opinion, I don't think any Siege or Noble War changes is making people come back to the game. I think that a lot of the players, like you noted, the declining player base and stuff like that over the last year and then recently over the holidays after, mm-hmm. I think that is a function of just players just kind of being done. I mean, there's sometimes things happen in a game where, you know, an update goes too far and they're done with the game. They're not going to come back even if it fixed every issue they have. Maybe some players will, but I don't think a majority will. And I think that PA's direction and focus now is to make other side PvP modes for stuff. Like you mentioned, the hardcore server. I think it shouldn't have been called a hardcore server because it just looks like Shadow Arena 2.0, which I think looks cool. I don't think it's going to save PvP because you're not going to have people that look back on the game of like, oh, you know, I remember when I was PvPing and GVGing and we were fighting, you know, and tallying up these scores. Oh, and then the war scores were so cool. I feel like they've buffed and given so much to like these Noble Wars and Sieges that like I understand there's other more fundamental core issues and PA just can't seem to latch on to figure that out. But I just don't feel like that's ever gonna be like I don't have a friend that PvP'd all the time for years, Sieged and everything, telling me, man, I can't wait till they fix this thing in Siege and Node War. I'm really going to come back and it's going to be so fun. Because I feel like a lot of people, once their guild has moved on, once some of the core members have moved on, those people move on. And I think a lot of those people just are playing other games. And they may return in some way, shape, or form because of a piece of content here and there, but I don't think we're going to get the resurging wave. And I think that's why PA is focusing now entirely on how do we get newer players to be interested in the game? How do we get these newer players to like the current modes and things we're going to create, essentially?
I respectfully disagree. I think that it showed, I think that we saw the peak on the Steam charts. I think that it's the opposite of what you said. I think that a lot of these players right here, a lot of these are returning players, not new players. I think that this peak right here represents the amount of players that still want Black Desert to be great again, to put it in my terms. I think that those players, it represents the hope left even in players that left the community over the last year or so. The fact that they're still following the game, it shows how many people are still following the game, how many people are willing to come back if they were to make like fix and make the game and give these fun changes to the game, right? Whether they like PvP, whether they like life scaling, or they quit for PvE reasons or progression reasons or what have you. I think that the peak that you see at the Calpheon Ball, especially in this case, represents the players that are willing to come back to the game. And you can see that that is an extremely healthy audience. And what I'm concerned about is those players, like Jay said, they get hyped about the ball and then they quit over time. And yes, that can be a natural progression for some player, but I think that BDO as a game is typically really, really good at maintaining its players over time. Do you see peaks around new content releases? Sure. But they're basically trying to release new content pretty consistently over time. If you look at the all for the graph, it's much different. This graph looks way different than a graph like New World, where like, yeah, you know, if I go to New World, like every other MMO release that you see, it's peaks and valleys around major expansion releases. In New Worlds, it's peaks, it's hills and valleys. But like you can see expansion release, right? But like Lost Ark can kind of, well, Lost Ark actually has a pretty solid retention rate too for its players, but they have a huge peak. It's kind of like Path of Exile, even though it's not necessarily an MMO. Destiny 2 is not necessarily an MMO, but World of Warcraft is a great example. Huge peak around the big expansion release, and then it drops off really hard. BDO is a lot different than that. Sure, you see a peak, right? But like, I think it does a remarkable job of retaining players over time. And my question here is, how many players are we going to retain? Or are we actually going to go, is this going to be just like a massive peak and then we just go right back to where we were, right?
I understand how you feel about the bump there on the chart and feel as if it's PvP people returning or players
PvP.
Returning and
like everyone.
Sure, players returning in general. I am like 200%, like if I was betting on this on like a blackjack table, I'm going all in Texas Hold'em on people just logging in to get their T10, to get their 10,000 krons, to get their the 20 million free things that came out with the ball. I think that that's players seeing that. I think it's maybe a handful of people seeing that you can now AFK fish for like 4 billion silver on like some 49 alt. I'm not sold on thinking it's like people returning, hoping it's like Star Wars Episode 5, A Brand New Hope or something. Like, I just don't, I don't I find that personally, both. And I no, understand no. why you think that.
I think it's both blind. I think it's people that are following the game that will absolutely quit.
I don't think so.
I think that they will absolutely quit. I mean, they would keep playing if they brought it. If they brought
there's
the
going to be a variation of players for sure. I totally get that. I just don't buy into the merit of like, I had a lot of friends in a lot of PvP guilds and communities because I was in that for a hot minute, and I just don't feel that. I'm in like 10 or 15 different, which were all majorly active PvP guilds, GVGing and doing stuff all the time, all dead, and none of those members returning. They've all migrated into many guilds, and all that stuff has fallen apart, and I just don't feel people coming in and being like, oh man, this is, you know, this is going to be it. I maybe in some of the circles you see that and you're feeling that, and maybe the community speaks out to you in a certain type of way. I just, in the many circles I'm in, I am just not seeing or feeling that vibe, and it may be this to the people that I'm around are like old school and they're just kind of done, they've kind of rotated, but I don't feel that vibe.
I don't know. We'll ask Jay here, but again, I think it's veteran and returning players coming back to the game, whether they're excited about Deadeye or they're excited about other changes to the game. And I think that they absolutely have the opportunity to stick with the game for at least a few months, not just a few weeks, as long as they deliver on a lot of these promises. A lot of the PvPers probably did log in, at least just to get the rewards. And the reason mentally that they are logging in is not to play the game. They're logging in to get the rewards because they know there's a chance that they might come back to the game if they fix it. Right. So they log in, they get the rewards, everything goes good, and they don't intend on playing it necessarily long term. But if they did fix the game, well, at least we got the rewards and we can stay on track. We can stay ahead of the curve. Jay, what do you think the peak is about?
Well, I'm so sorry, Jay. I don't want to interrupt you. I want to pause because I have three more bullet points to catch
okay.
up.
Okay. Oh,
I'm
yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Jay, shut up.
Okay,
yeah.
You're good.
I get you and I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of players that are like that. There's a lot of players that are going to log in every 6 months for those big rewards and put them in. Your next point that I wrote down was that you talked about the winter zone announced as the next zone. I'd like to see where it was quoted that. I know that they announced over the last few balls, they've been obviously hinting and teasing at both the winter 2.0 region and also the new Alieli Hadoom region, whatever, north of Valencia. I feel like they've been mentioning both of those, so I feel like it's very weird to say that they definitely announced winter region first, because I feel like maybe they did a year or two plus ago and then they've changed that around. But I don't feel like that was ever set hard in stone. Just like right now, they announced the demon zone and they talked about four or five regions in that specific zone, but they're not giving a timetable. They're not saying anything particular. They're just trying to catch the vibe on like all those four different regions and the mechanics that they want to design and see if players are interested in those things to get people talking about it, talk about it on the forum stuff. I just don't feel so. And I mean maybe I could be wrong, because I mean, you know, it's been 6 months to a year plus. I don't think that that winter region was the next one announced, but like I said, I could be wrong.
I agree at the last ball. I could have sworn that they said the hunt. Jae-hee Kim stood up, I'm fairly certain, at the Heidel ball, because I was front row soaking it in, and I'm pretty sure that he literally said the next expansion that they're looking at, because they showed like the next 10-year roadmap. The first thing they talked about, he said, the next expansion that we're working on imminently is this 100-floor dungeon with the land, or with the Mountain of Eternal Winter Part 2. And then they said it was going to be the Demon Land. And then they said it was going to be like the Black Desert Rewind back in time. Primordial,
right. These are like teasers for the far future, right?
That's exactly
how I interpreted, right?
But like Disney Demon Land photo and stuff.
If they promise like I love that. I think if they promised a particular save date or like, hey, this is definitely coming out December this year or something like that, I agree. I would feel the same way of like, wow, you guys said that was coming out and this was coming out, but now you've changed it. I think that the interpretation when you're watching these hype fests and looking at like, oh, hey, here's this winter region. We are going to have the 100-floor dungeon. We are going to have some stuff. That's cool. But also we're working on this demon land that's got a bunch of stuff. And I think that like, I think it's okay for them to be like, you know, we know a lot of people want this PvP and this PvP focused sort of stuff. I'm not necessarily too miffed about them saying, you know what, winter region and 100 floor dungeon, we can kind of set that on the side and pull up this new region that's going to have you defeat a demon commander in the zone and now you can PvP anybody for free with no karma loss. I feel like this is like a thing where they're switching of priorities, where it's like, okay, a lot of PvPers are upset and now you're giving a new piece of content that is like super juiced for people that want to do this kind of PvP content and open world fighting and stuff, and it's literally saying, hey, yeah, we're listening here. Let's push this PvP like central focused update coming. So I don't know. It's on one hand, it's like if we're going to complain about PvP, we can't be upset when they then push an update like that before another expansion that's definitely PvE focused, which the 100-floor dungeon would obviously be. So I just we got to pick one lane or the other. In my opinion, I feel like they got to. But I don't necessarily mind them unless they've, again, promised a specific date. I don't mind if they change it if it's in the interest of the players that are all right now outcrying that they want XYZ content. I personally don't think that's I don't think that's against the player interest. It's literally feeding into the player interest personally. So I may be wrong on if they quoted it was specifically going to be the next specific region, or I agree that maybe they stated that it was going to be before the Demon Land, but I think they're just probing interest on the players and saying, oh, you guys want like some open world PvP content here. Let's make it so that that's literally built into the new area. And I think that's okay. I think that's like literally kind of not maybe listening directly to the players, but it's vibing off of the player sentiment.
Let me ask you, Blonde. Were you excited when you heard that the Demon Land was going to have lordships and all of these things where you could compete with each other like that? Jay, was that exciting for you too? Like, I'm curious, were you guys, you guys are PvE lords most of the time, but like you would PvP when it's fun. Right, you're people that you're great examples of people that you're not necessarily against PvP, but you're not gonna do. You're not gonna go out of your way to do it unless it looks like it's a lot of fun. So, Blonde, does it look like something you would do?
I mean, it's not an option, right? If you're grinding in the zone and they own the region, then you're gonna have to fight them regardless.
But are you gonna grind in that region? Would you grind somewhere where that was?
Oh,
the
I am 100% grinding in this new region.
Okay, so it is exciting for you. Good.
Yes,
that's a good thing. Yes, that's
good. I mean,
good.
Well, first of all, the whole vibe of the area is cool. The concept of you claiming the land and then no karma loss PvPing everywhere, I think is one of the... It just kind of takes essentially what was like these guild deck systems and then putting it into the design of the world. I think that's a huge, huge W. I think across the board, it's like... I think it's awesome. I think it's a cool concept. You don't have to grind there. There's five other regions. You can fight any other guild, or you can be the guild that claims that territory and then fight there. I think it's super cool. I think it hits, like, in my opinion, the nail on the head where I've been saying that they need to sort of incentivize new players who aren't part of this old scene of GVGs, Guild Wars, the Node Sieges, like people that are new to the game, maybe PvEing a little bit, and then dipping their toes back into PvP centrism of like, here, this is going to have some open world PvP, but the reward is worth the risk. Like, here you go. I think that's a huge thing, in my opinion. I think it's right.
So, Jay, is it exciting for you? Hi. Not because it's a new region. But is it exciting for you? Like, would you grind somewhere where someone could just come PvP you for free without a penalty because they're the lord of the land?
You know, I've never really been a very competitive person, so I've never really had fun open world PvPing. I'm not sure how the exact mechanics will happen until we, you know, finally see it. They kind of just touched on, like, how it would work. Like, it's just, like, one... Is it, like, one lord per... like the five regions, or is it like one lord for the entire five regions of that continent or whatever or place? And so, like, if it's just one person being the lord out of the region, I mean, how I'm like picturing, like, realistically, oh, maybe I'm grinding during the, I don't know, the degen hours, like most people do in BDO, right? Like, how often are they going to be around to PvP me? And I kind of feel like most people nowadays don't really like mess with each other unless, you know, they're looking for that PvP. I mean, for me in PvP, just in general, I feel like the most fun I had was simply messing around with guildies in RBF or Battle Arena while we're on Discord, like shit talking each other and stuff like that. So I did enjoy my experience in Node Wars and Sieges when I did participate, but, you know, it's fallen off for me and it's not really my cup of tea anymore. I do just focus on the PvE aspect of the game. So I'm just like wondering, like, I feel like I can't give my final judge of the regions.
He wants some more details
until it finally comes out.
He wants the details. He wants to know how this guy's gonna grief me, so I can figure out, okay, do I run a DP build, or am I gonna go grind in the corner spot where no one's gonna see me behind the wall? Or
that's what I'm thinking.
I think what's exciting for me.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the problem though, and you guys are old enough players to know how far along they are in development based on what they show you. right? If they show you like big trailers and they explain the lore and stuff a lot, they know that it's right around the corner. But if they don't do any of that, they just show you screenshots, there's a good chance that we actually just might not get it.
I don't think it's coming until the end of the year. If anything, it's going to come at the end of the year. I don't think it's coming anytime soon, for sure.
That's
okay. I understand you think that's a problem. I think it's a good thing that they like take their time to work on it and make sure it actually maybe functions good or functions in a way. I think our main next 6 months of content or whatever for PvP centric people is going to be that the PvP server thing, the hardcore. I think that's the like, hey, here's this. That'll settle you over until we figure out how to, you know, whatever our PvP speech was. If we're going to do any updates based on that, this is what we're going to push out, because I know a lot of players are. I mean, we just had the Divios and Choice talk with them, and that's what led to that 30-minute speech, and now that's going to lead into maybe some future changes. I understand that waiting and not hearing anything is going to suck, and it's going to be like, okay, like nothing's happening unless it's happening, and I understand that sentiment, but I feel like it's cooking right now.
Actually, speaking of the speech we were constantly mentioning, I feel like I was going to say that maybe that big speech was Wansu who said that big speech. I feel like they were kind of saying that like how I was interpreting it was that they made a lot of mistakes in the past, right? Especially with the PvP community. And I kind of saw that as them saying, hey, like we made some mistakes and all we can do is like look forward. So here's what we're working on. We're trying to encourage people to PvP with the new hardcore server that they're adding, with the Edania region, with the PvP mechanic. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like what I interpreted from that speech. And I feel like BDO is in a very different place than it is now. Right, in 2024, so then what it was when it was at its peak back, like, you know, 5-6 years ago, when, you know, that was like the PvP was on the spotlight, right? Now PvP is not really in that spotlight, and I don't think we'll be able to return to that anymore nowadays, just because the version, right, the patch of BDO that we have now is just so different than what it was before, and now they're just trying to look forward and push through to what we have now. So that's kind of like what I,
that's the vibe I got about
how that speech was.
I think that they're reverting. I think that they said, okay, we messed up again. I think that speech was like, all right, yeah, we had good intentions, but we understand that we destroyed a large fabric of what our game is supposed to be at the end game, and that upset the vast majority of our player base. And here are the steps, like, here's what we're about to do about that, basically. Or we're taking steps to kind of move back to the environment that you had before as much as we can create it, because it's not like, we can't replicate it perfectly, but like,
no,
we can try to take steps to kind of move back towards that direction. That's what I got out of that speech.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Either way, let's talk about Deadeye a little bit, because we haven't talked about my new favorite class at all.
I'm sorry. Pause. I got one more bullet point.
Yeah, go.
Your last question was, did BDO buy time for the next update? I think they did. I think that... I think they did. I think that the PvP, like I just said, the hardcore server is going to be like the main staple for a hot minute. It's going to be the new hot, fresh, maybe some cool rewards with it. And then from there, we're going to get maybe near the summer update ball, we're going to get some stuff leading up to that, and then maybe a big update on that, and then I think that's when they're gonna maybe dip into the PvP thing, if that's what they're gonna be doing. I think they did buy time for players, in a sense. Yeah,
I said two months. That was last note. I said I think they buy 2 months before we start to see it fall back off a cliff again is the problem. But we'll see.
I mean, but that's okay. And this is something I've said in the past. I don't think BDO should be a game where you feel like you're logging in for the whole year. I think it's okay to be like, okay, I play BDO for a month or two, I burn out. And then I want to go play PoE season. Okay, now I go log in back to BDO, grind for a thing. Okay, now I'm going to go grind in like another seasonal event. Or, oh, Marvel Rivals just came out, I'm going to play that. I agree that like us hardcore players want to play it every day. We want to make it our main game. We want to do that a ton. I think for your average player, I'm not against totally a player being like, yeah, I'll play a little bit and then I'll play something else and I'll play a little bit and I'll play something else.
I don't know. I think that BDO is a game that remarkably, yes, you do play it all year, but it's how actively you're playing it that matters. But it's not until you stop playing BDO that you uninstall the game. The first like 2 or 3 days that you're like, yeah, I just didn't log into AFK Fish. Then you're like, yeah, I'm just going to uninstall this shit. And then you just uninstall it and you let go. Right. I think that there's like, versus something like Throne of Liberty, where it's like you stop playing, like you're playing actively, and then you just quit it all. There could be a week, and then you don't log in at all, and then you log back in and you play again. But like BDO is a game that encourages you to log in every single day because they want you to do AFK activities, especially with AFK phishing now. If you're not logging in for that, it just shows how much you've really let go of the game, and a lot of people just uninstall in that case, right?
I understand, but I think that's just an evolution of the negative play style that people play this game with. I think that, true, I agree, in BDO PA, rather, has made the game something you want to, like, consistently log in. You don't want to try and play anything else. You got to AFK fish. You've got to do this. You got to do that. But I think it's okay for people to sort of take breaks or not consistently play it. Because the cool thing about BDO, unlike any other MMO, is like in World of Warcraft, every 3 months, all your gear that you just spent all that time grinding for, it's all gone. It's irrelevant. You're going to do a dungeon that gives you blue gear that's better than everything, right? I think that sucks. And that's a sucky feeling, in my opinion. And I think that BDO, I grinded for that Pym Blackstar. I didn't get a free Pym Blackstar later until 4 years later, they handed out a free one, right? Like, I think that that's... You don't see any other MMO being like, yeah, we don't have any new gear upgrades for your main hand till 4 years later. But that's also because the style of game rewards that gameplay of like, okay, I'm going to play a lot. I'm going to grind a lot. I'm going to get a lot of money. So I'm just, my main point is that I feel like they've made so many systems easier. They've made the catch-up mechanics easier. They've made it so you don't have to play as much. You want to play a lot because it's fun, but it's okay not to feel like you're like, oh my gosh, I'm only playing this, because I feel like that was a lot of player sentiments. Like, they feel like they have to play it so much, and now it's like, hey, we've kind of lessened how much you get to play. You can kind of do whatever. You don't have to hardcore play all the time, and now players are like, I want them to make me want to play it 24 hours a day, and it's like, okay, we don't have to do that. It can be a healthy balance, and I think that's just like the gamer mindset evolution of like, no, I have to play this game. It's the only game I want to play. But I don't think it's a healthy environment, in my opinion.
I've never been like, yeah, BDO is the only game. Like, there are large swaths of time where I was like, yeah, BDO is the only game that I want to play. Oh my God. BDO is the only game that I want to play. But like, I wouldn't say that's it was unhealthy. I would say it's just I wasn't motivated to play other games because I was very invested in BDO. There's been a lot of times where I'm just like, I want to put BDO down. But like, I would always log in and do like my AFK stuff. But like, again, I think that the moment that you're just like, yeah, it's not even worth logging in anymore, that's when you're just like, all right, I'm quitting this game altogether. And I think that a lot of the players are kind of in this stage where like they logged out, they've uninstalled the game, but they were still following what's going on with the game on social media because like the game is good enough that if they fixed it, they would come back like right away. And like, again, the ball showed them like, okay, that's pretty promising. And the rewards are good enough that I'm definitely going to install and get the rewards. And like, I'm not going to like play it actively per se. A decent amount of them will stay in AFK fish, but like if they fix the game, absolutely I'll come back. But if not, well then I got the rewards and that's on to Path of Exile, or it's on to a Monster Hunter Wilds when that comes out, or whatever the next game is. Like, I think that BDO again is a game that has incredible retention rate. But as long as Jay, you don't have anything to add to that, I did want to talk about Deadeye for a good amount here, because I do think that, well, I mean, we touched on it a little bit earlier. Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, I was just gonna just add a little bit about how everything that you guys were talking about. I mean, I feel like sandbox. Like, I was just like, my mind was like thinking, like focusing on the word, like, oh, it's a sandbox MMO. Like when I think of a sandbox MMO, oh, you can do whatever you want and progress in however you want. And I feel like BDO kind of hits the nail on that with, you know, we have systems in the game where you can progress in many different ways. Maybe some not more as viable as others, you know, such as, you know, like trading and whatnot nowadays, but they are making strides to make certain systems a lot more appealing to do, especially with like fishing, right? Fishing was not the best for the longest time. And now there's like now they've significantly buffed it. And I feel like fishing is like one of the best life skills to keep players retained. And I feel like that's what I feel like they kind of like focus on that. And so, yeah, that's all I have to add. It's a sandbox MMO. And I feel like they did a good job of, you know, staying within that sort of line. Whereas I think World of Warcraft, what's it described as? It's like a roller coaster, or like you're on a ride.
Theme park.
There's a specific
theme park MMO. It's where you only go when the new ride comes out.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like what I was comparing.
I'm not sure that's what theme park MMO
World of Warcraft and
yeah, that's what theme park MMOs are like. You're waiting for the next attraction to come out. Every 3 to 4 years they come with a new attraction. You go because you haven't been there in years, and you go play the new attraction. That's what that means. You know, that's what that means.
Usually, theme park was that, like, okay, they're guiding you, like they're holding your hand, they're telling you exactly what they want to do. You stay on the path. Was my understanding was theme park, you stay on the roller coaster, like you have to. Yeah. It's a railroad track, right? Like,
no, I don't. I get what you're saying.
Where you can just go off and do whatever you want.
I get what you're saying, but I don't think so.
Okay, well, I can see it from your side too. There. That being said, okay, Jay, great point. Love that. Deadeye. Okay, thoughts on this? Deadeye. I'm playing this. I'm playing the crap out of this. She's from Texas. You're basically playing a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader with a gun. Do you think it should have been male? Jay?
I mean, I don't really care whether it's like male or female. I know some people do, but for me personally, I don't. It's all about the aesthetic for me in terms of play style. And for me, magic has always been my appeal when it comes to classes. I did give it a try. I did tag her for the week that she did come out, and you know her performance is pretty good in PvE. I never really tried her in PvP because I'm not really much of a PvP player, but I do personally find her playstyle a little bit on the faster side for me. But at the same time, I do prefer slower paced classes like Awakening Witch, Wusa, Dosa. Those classes are much more like comfortable for me in terms of playstyle. The movement also, like, it was like throwing me off with whenever she's like, you know, swinging, right? And you can't really like spam a dash like other classes. Maybe I'm just spoiled with like Witch and Wusa and Dosa, where you could, you know, mostly spam a dash. In terms of aesthetics, like, you know, very, very Western American influence. It's giving like Indiana Jones vibes with the rope swing, the pistols and the pistol handling. Like that instantly reminded me of, you know, Lara Croft, right? A very iconic character in video game industry. She has that high noon ability from Cassidy in Overwatch. The shotgun with the explosive rounds is exactly what Ashe had in Overwatch,
McCree.
Right?
And it is McCree. Okay. Don't ever.
They changed McCree's name to Cassidy, didn't they?
I don't care. It's still McCree. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. So it's like Twitter and X. Okay. let's just get it right. All right. Continue. Sorry.
And then the rocket launcher, that was, I feel like not many people were expecting a rocket launcher to be introduced in BDO, but here we are, right? Like her.
That's crazy.
And then in terms of her playstyle, she feels like very melee, right? Her pistols and shotgun, I felt like I had to go very melee with her. And then the rocket launcher, you have that like massive range to poke your opponents with. So I think she'll be very popular with any classes, any players who prefer a faster placed playstyle. Oh, one thing I did hear comments about a lot whenever Deadeye first came out. And we were discussing this with my chat about how the people were saying that the class and lore feel forced into BDO in the world. And I can definitely see, like, there was a lot of people asking for it, but I do think, okay, I kind of like, my brain was like speculating, right? So I do think maybe there was an intention behind it besides, you know, Jade quote unquote changing, right? So there's 29 BD classes in BDO, right? There's a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's Awakening and Succession for a lot of them. So we could kind of say there's like 50 plus classes if you consider Awakening and Succession to be completely different classes, which some classes are, right? They feel very different. And they're probably not stopping anytime soon, right? So I'm thinking in my head, oh, how many more unique different classes can they come up with? So, you know, with this in mind, like, she doesn't originate from BDO's world, and it's like it's from this fictional parallel universe of America, right, called New Victoria, and that was established in her lore video that they put out. So I feel like okay, maybe I'm like stretching, but I feel maybe this is like a big larger part of a plan to expand the game's lore to include more parallel dimensions or alternate realities or timelines, so that new classes don't have to originate from BDO, which would give them more flexibility of class and character designs, right? They don't have to just base it off just BDO's lore. They can just go off and do whatever. And again, this is just speculation. We could also just go with the first part of what comments did criticize her about, how she feels forced into BDO players because BDO players wanted it. But at the same time, in terms of direction of character design, right, we're getting like 1 to 2 classes per year. That's been fairly consistent, right? 1 to 2 classes per year, and then they have their Succession or Awakening or their Ascension class. So if we're they did say they were planning for 10 more years of the game, so we can probably expect maybe 10 to 15 new classes. And again, like, I feel, at least for me, maybe I'm just not a very creative person, that I can't think of 10 to 15 more new classes that are just purely from the BDO's world. And so, yeah, that's where I was stretching from. Anyways, I digress. But yeah, Deadeye, yeah, in new America new class, fun,
yeah.
Guns, yeah.
Uh, I think it was intentionally forced. Obviously, it was forced. He said he didn't want to make a gunner class. He didn't feel like it fit in the game. And ironically enough, it was the Korean people that forced it in. But I actually think that the logic behind making it a Western cowboy was that the theme of 2024 and the reason that they lost like something like $15 million between quarter three of last year and comparing it to quarter three of this year, or at least of 2023 to 2024, was because the West got really upset with them. And like the West didn't feel like they were accurately represented from a developer standpoint, like that we didn't feel like we were listened to. And I think that an underlying reason why they chose to make it an American was to try to say, like, hey, we're definitely listening to you for sure. Like it wasn't just like, oh yeah, we're listening to you. It was like, we're going to put Western culture into our game because like, then they'll feel more represented in our game and then we'll start listening to them. And like, this is kind of the first move on the pendulum to try to be like, yeah, we're listening to the player base. We swear, kind of deal. That being said, I'm falling for it hook, line, and sinker in terms of this bitch is hot. No, I do not think it should be a man.
She's spicy.
You're crazy. No. That bitch has a thong in her first outfit. What are we talking about? Now, granted, a lot of the other outfits are kind of questionable. They're either questionable or dog shit.
How does it stay up like that?
Yeah, well, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. It's her hips physics. That being said, I think that some of the outfits are like super questionable. She's an American. She's got a school outfit on and she's got guns. That I don't know if we thought this through. That being said, the rest of the outfits are like kind of dog, except for like there's like four or five outfits that are reasonable, but like because she is kind of a Western motif in an Eastern game, you've got like I don't know, some of these outfits feel a little bit out of place. So they're going to have a lot of work to do in terms of outfits, but there's a lot that they can do with it anyway, because they've shown that they're willing to kind of go outside the box for outfits lately, which is pretty cool. Snowboarding outfit looks pretty badass too lately. But like, as far as how she plays, I love almost all of it. My only two gripes, well, like love the rocket launcher, the shotgun, the sounds are like ASMR. I like they're so good. Like the gun sounds, if you sit there and listen to them, are design, so yeah. Well done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellently done. And how like the class feels and like how the recoil on the weapons and stuff feels really powerful, really strong, very, very well done. My two gripes about the class is one, there's unit collision on too many things, which I think that they're going to fix. The unit collision is obnoxious a lot of the time, which makes her very difficult to grind in PvE at some of the locations in the game. That being said, she is exceptionally good at PvE. Two, her class buff was not well thought through and is complete dog shit. Her class buff is so bad. It gives 10 AP and then it can stack up to like 40. Yeah, so it gives 10 AP and then it can stack up to 40 AP as long as you reset one of your match or your revolver skills, and you reset your revolver skills by hitting the E button and changing your ammo. So every time you change your ammo, it should theoretically reset your skills and you can fire again. The problem with this is in order to stack this up to full where you have like 40 AP, it doesn't extend the duration, by the way. So like this all has to happen in 30 seconds. In order to get this to work, you have to stand still, hit E, flip to the skill, use the skill, hit E again, flip back, use the skill again, hit E, flip back, use the skill again. In order to stack it like four times, it's completely being useless. And half the time, your skill cooldowns aren't even resetting the way that they should with the passive. It's very poorly thought through. It needs to be reworked immediately because her class buff, I think, makes her really, really... So she's strong in PvE. Her class buff makes her a lot weaker. And then in PvP, her class buff is essentially useless. You're getting 10 AP basically because you can't just sit there and swap. Like, it's just not something that you can do. Furthermore, in PvP, I don't know if this is intentional, but this makes the class kind of unplayable in like AOS. You have absolutely no damage reduction on your super armors at all. None. 0%. So you're sitting there trying to trade with any other class in the game. Say you've got your shift F and you're sitting there, you're gunning, and then one Musa comes up and just uses a skill crush on you. Boom, you're instantly dead. He takes almost no damage. Because, like, again, you have no damage reduction on any of your skills. So, like, I don't understand how you're supposed to play this class in PvP, especially in uncapped PvP. You can't trade with anyone. So, yeah, you're supposed to kite. The idea is that overall that you're not supposed to get hit, but, like, they need to add damage reduction on the skills. But, like, this is those are my gripes with the class. That being said, I absolutely love it. I moved my weapons from my witch to my dark knight, as I said before, and I tagged so that I could tag the Deadeye and have her tag to a dark knight. Absolutely incredible class. Haven't stopped playing it since it came out. Blonde, what are your thoughts on it?
I wish it was a male. I wish it was a dwarf. To be honest, I feel like it'd be cool to get a short male class, or even if it was a female dwarf, that would have been cool, because you know the female dwarf stuff can have beards. That's just my take on like that stuff. I think that it is a pretty clever design, like Jay said, where they tie Marty into making it like a multi-dimensional thing, like
dwarf?
Her being, huh?
You wanted it to be a dwarf? Did I just hear that?
Yeah, right? It'd be cool. We don't have a single dwarf class in the game. Why wouldn't it? The dwarves are the ones that made the cannon for the Zerker.
The gunner class?
For sure, bro. Bro, for sure. They're the ones that made the Zerker cannon for the Zerker. If it weren't for the dwarves, okay, the Zerker wouldn't have an awakening.
Continue. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's lore accurate, you know. But anyways, I thought it was really cool that they decided to like set it, sort of like tie it into the world by saying, okay, we're gonna do like the multi-dimensional thing of like, hey, we can bring in random characters from random worlds and random timelines and stuff. Even though they've kind of already done that, because technically Witch and Wizard are from a completely different dimension and world, and technically the elves classes are all from the Elvian dimension world, from where elves come from. So we already kind of have that in more of like an in-lore fantasy aspect. And this is kind of like a branched out sci-fi-ish version. But for the people that really want a male version of a Deadeye, if you did the Ascension questline with Marnie and all that stuff, it basically alludes to the fact that her brother's lost in time and he's going to get pulled in, and he's going to be another version of the gunner that's a male that has like maybe a different class set of abilities. So it's already coming. It's just in development. So based on like quite literally just the story, if you read it when doing the questline for her. So that's already happening. Yeah, I think her brother's going to be the male Deadeye version. Yeah, for sure. I think there's just too much interest in that stuff that it just seems kind of obvious to do something like that. So I think that her design is cool. I did play her for like a week. I think that her abilities are cool. Her design is cool. She definitely has a lot of bugs. The super armor issue and survivability is kind of annoying. She does have a lot of collision. That's pretty annoying.
It's really annoying.
But everything is really fun. She did play really fun. I love that they made her an Ascension class, because I think that Scholar was one of the best classes designed wise, because everything flows into a second ability that flows into something else, and there's so much that just keys together, and I think they did even better on Deadeye with that. Everything feels so smooth, and you can switch your weapons similar to like a Deadeye in like Lost Ark, where you're playing the gunner class or whatever, and you're switching between the shotgun and the sniper and the pistols, and I think they did a really good job design wise. Again, you both piped in on it, the sound design. And this is something I don't think PA's ever really failed at. I mean, I'd like to see examples if they have, but PA's sound design team has got to be like one of the best in video games, because everything with their sound design sounds good. Like a lot of their soundtracks, a lot of their world design sounds, like everything they do, even for going back to Dosa, the fucking metal clang clang tank, like when you're doing the freaking metal abilities and the shattering, I think that they did a fantastic job. I think it's like always 10 out of 10 for PA with sound design stuff. I think it's, they got so a good, fantastic, yeah, team, because yes, all the bullets and stuff sound really 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 good. None of it sounds like too weird or too
so
off
good.
It was fantastic. I really 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 did like that. So yeah, I think she was fun. I think she's cool. She definitely, like I said, has bugs, and it would be nice to see those fixed, because I did not like how I was getting one shot at a few spots. If you like accidentally turn your back, or if it's nighttime, it's, yeah, like, ooh, that didn't feel good. Listen, that just comes with time, because we wanted the content in the new class at the same time Korea wanted it. So we're going to get it. It's just going to come with some freaking issues, and we're just going to have to deal with it, okay? We're just going to, you know, have to give that feedback and say, yo, please fix this. And that's just the cost of getting it early, right? Yeah. So
with the amount of classes we have now in BDO, would you like, if let's say there's a new player, they come into your stream and they're like, oh, what class would you recommend me to learn the game with? Is this one of those classes, would you say, like you could recommend to learn the game with to a brand new player?
I think she has a low, She's got a high ceiling. Like, she's just pretty easy, but there's a lot. There's a lot, a really high ceiling of skill, because I've seen the difference between people that are like, oh, I'm grinding Deadeye at Darkseekers, and I'm like making like, you know, X amount of trash. And then you see some video where someone's making like 50,000 trash. It's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, someone is breaking this class and some other guy's playing like a noob. Like, something's going on here. But I think that's cool. I think a class design that has high skill ceilings but also can be simple and fun, I think is fantastic. I think there's a handful of classes like that in BDO, and I think that those are really, really good, just design-wise, because it allows the player to fill that gap if they want to. It puts it in the hands of the players.
Really, like, these last few classes that we've gotten, like Scholar, Dosa, Megu, Wusa, like, I feel like a lot of them, like, it's like very intuitive for them, at least. I mean, Deadeye I felt like was a little bit more on the more difficult side, especially after playing Dosa was like my newest new class that I played. And, you know, Succession Dosa, I feel like most people can agree, like, you're just holding down buttons for the most part with Succession Dosa. Awakening Dosa was also like the game kind of just told you what to element
everything
to go for,
right? Goes
fire,
right into it,
wood,
yeah.
Right, fire, wood, water, metal, earth, right? It makes sense. But for Deadeye,
intuitive.
Like that
intuitive.
One, it was not as intuitive for me.
No, it was not like, intuitive at all.
With?
I don't know. I was like, what ability am I? I had to look up three different grind videos to find a combo. I'm like, this shiz is confusing. I don't even know what ability I want to use into what. I can press spacebar at any time to shoot him if I want to. Like, wait, and then I can, okay, but I can move. Okay, and then
too.
I can,
I mentioned
it's like,
earlier.
Oh man, it was just, it was, and there's like five different videos I found with different combos. I was like, what the?
Well, I think
maybe
that
it was
because of all the collision that I found
correct.
The movement was
so
more difficult to figure out. Whereas like Dosa, Awakening Dosa, right? Like shift movement, LMB.
Yeah,
shift
everything
LMB,
is perfect.
Like,
her not having a spammable iframe is criminal, is it not?
It's so criminal.
I'm spoiled with spammable.
Yeah, I can't play a class that doesn't have a spammable iframe now.
People,
I ain't freaking evasion rolling. Are you crazy?
Yeah, dude. People were telling me like, haha, Blue can't do C8 Sangun on the new class, and I'm like, dude, bro, I was like I pump it down to C7, it takes me like 9 minutes. I finally get it down, because here's the thing, you have to do every single mechanic perfectly or you are instantly dead. There's no DR on your super armors, you have no spammable iframe. If you don't perfectly execute every single moment of the boss, you're dead.
You're
and
done.
The fight goes on for like
nine minutes,
right? So like I would get it down to like 1%.
What?
Yeah, well, because I can't hit the, like, you guys, I'm just gonna sit here on width. I'm just gonna iframe. I'm just gonna death again. Yeah, I'm Scott. I find it. It'll be fine. And then you go right back to DPS. You're fine. But like you have to literally, you're constantly sliding around. You're avoiding the mechanic. And then at the very last mechanic at the end of C7, right? You have all the shit happening and all the red and whatnot. And you only have one iframe that like moves you, right? So like you have to stand in the perfect little pizza slice. And like, it's really hard, man. Like, boss splits on Deadeye is hard because, again, you don't have DR on your super armors. And you don't have a spammable iframe, which is another thing that like, I don't understand why they didn't give it. Every other class seems to have an iframe that they just bam,
I think
bam,
it's
bam,
criminal.
Bam, bam. Yeah, like,
I think it's criminal that they have bosses like prints, like hard prints, and then they design a brand new class without a spammable iframe. I understand it's probably not good for like certain parts of health of the game for like PvP and other stuff, but it is really difficult when you're looking at content like Deposed Crown Prince or now the new C8 910s. How do you play that on Deadeye without being perfect? You literally kind of can't make a mistake, and I think that's kind of I think that's pretty criminal for PA to do that. I understand that people, like, I think Hashashin also had to use, or was it Hashashin? Or there was some other class where you had to use the evasion roll, and I think that's...
It's miserable.
It's really frustrating. It's not a fun gameplay experience. So I think that was pretty crazy for them not to do that, because I feel like the game's design is leading to a point where every class needs to be able to have a oh shiz button for PvE content, because that's the way they've made some of the game. So, yeah, kind of like, what the heck? What are we doing there?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But I don't have any too many complaints. I think the class is pretty cool and awesome. So.
Voltar-e-von. Okay. There we go. I completely agree. I with everybody, like everything we've said here, completely agree. Couldn't agree with you more on Deadeye. There's certain complaints about the class, but most of the class is just incredible and I'm enjoying playing it. And I would agree. I've seen multiple guides, like Bicep got paid to make a guide by Prolibus, and his guide was pretty good. And then there were a few others like Lua and whatnot have put out videos that are just absolutely pumping on that class. Incredible, but it's really cool to see people theory crafting, like figuring out the new classes they go, like the new, like the movement and all the different like combos. But again, I do think that the unit collision, the spammable iframe, DR on super armors, then her class buff need to be fixed. But other than that, if we look ahead, Voltarion, I don't know if I've spelt it correctly, but the new horse. The new T9 yes. horse has yeah. been announced, and you have to PvP to get the new horse, is my understanding. There's some
PvE options. There's some PvE options. Two of them, I believe it's Calamity 10 and Deposed Prince specifically. They will give materials for it. But yes, the main source of the material needed will be from PvPing. So if you are PvPing, you'll get it faster than a PvEer. Because it's time gated for a PvEer. Well, I guess it's time gated for a PvPer too. You gotta wait for like War of the Roses and whatnot.
Yeah.
Just wanted to correct that. Go ahead.
But again, I think it's a PvP horse. It's meant for PvPers. And again, I think that
it is.
Like a lot of people were excited about the new horse, and I think it's something cool that they need to add more stuff like this. This is good. This is a good step. Now do this about 500 more times. Get moving. You know what I mean? Like, this is the first time we've seen them in a long time add something to the game that is strictly a cosmetic item. There's not a T10 variant. It's really just kind of an added T9, something cool that people can go for. It's not required. Doesn't necessarily add to your gear. It's just kind of a cool, flashy... like, I have this, you don't thing. Yeah,
like it's got a prestige kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a prestige like a thing. Yeah, prestige like a novelty kind. Prestige thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be kind of cool in Node Wars and Siege, but I don't think it's going to be busted. I think it's just going to be okay. I think it'll be solid.
Yeah, I just want to explain for listeners who did not see Voltarion yet. It's like a black horse with like gold lightning. And to just like very briefly explain the abilities, it has a lot of like teleport blinking lightning dashes. It can like dive from the sky to... do like AoE stuns. It has, according to the global labs, the fastest base stats out of all the T9 horses. Again, the acquisition for it is, you know, you need to do those feats of strength of, you know, winning a siege castle, winning War of the Roses, doing hard deposed prince, doing Calamity 10 bosses. Also, one thing to mention as well, even though it is a T9, I kind of think there's a high suggestion that there will be a T10 version, because it said, according to the Global Labs, you can choose between a male and a female Voltarion when you get the materials needed to get it. And so having a male and female, right, that's kind of like that's what you need for a T10. So I feel like there will be a T10 version eventually. I definitely did not expect the fourth Dream Horse, though. They were also talking about potentially combining all the three T10s too and stuff like that. So. Yeah, like mounts and BDO are, oh my god, and then there's the dragon. I keep skipping ahead. What? Go ahead. I keep going forward. Go ahead.
Why the f*** are all of these Chris Poly thumbnails when I type in Voltarion Black Desert? It's just every video Chris Poly has put out in the last like six months, and his goddamn thumbnails, because he uses the word Voltarion in every single tag on YouTube because he's just trying to clickbait views. Help! Okay, sorry. I can't find a picture of the horse. Regardless, some electric horse looks really cool.
Actually, it's on the Globe. Here, let me grab you the link here for the Global Labs, and then you can see here. There you go. And you can see all the abilities. There you go.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I don't look at the Global. Oh my god, I don't look at the Global Labs very often anymore because it comes out at like 4:30 in the morning. There's just no way I can keep up with that. Fortunately, we have Biceptimus Prime for that. Anders also stopped. Anders hasn't made a crazy amount of stuff for it either lately. But yeah, that's what it looks like right there. And then all the skills are coming out. It's got like a teleport and all this cool stuff. Anyway, I just thought Voltarion was really cool. Blind, you got anything to say about Voltarion?
I think this is something I've touched on and we've talked about before, is making these designs similar to maybe the Urzeka costume, similar to the New Verkant costume. I think it's good game design to get players to want to push for the top rankings, to want players to be competitive, to want them to do all these extracurricular activities. I think that this is literally the answer to a lot of things people have been asking for, and I agree with the first thing you said, is that they need to do this 10,000% more. They need to make players want to do things other than for the sake of just doing it, because that's just what the cycle of the game is, right? Getting gear is cool if you have something to do it for, but if there's no purpose besides grinding gear to get gear, it's pretty boring. So, like, I motivate myself by going for treasure items, and then I just get money on the side, and that gears me naturally as I'm working on another goal. But if I can go for gear that then lets me do the boss splits easier, that then gets me the new horse, which then, you know, in the future, maybe they introduce the new dungeon that gets a new costume. Like, there's all these, like, tumultuous rewards of, like, yes, all this thing, everything's coming together of, like, I'm grinding gear so I can get a treasure item, but also I can get money, I can work on my gear, I can go collect this thing in the dungeon I do once a week. The game needs to be, like, kind of fully involved to have these little rewards to motivate players more than they currently do, because we don't, in my opinion, have a lot of motivation to grind other than maybe you like grinding, or maybe you set yourself a personal goal to go for. And this kind of creates that system. So I think that, yes, this times 1,000 would be cool.
Yep, completely agree.
One thing I wanted to add, okay, this is kind of like half related to the mount topic, because in the Glowouts, they're actually adding an in-game mount simulator to see, like, the growth potential of the horse, and the sort of, like, breed type of the horse, like, whenever you're breeding. And if you guys remember, way back in the day, for those OGs, there was actually a website back in the day when people used for breeding horses to get a specific, like, coat on it, which was called somethinglovely.net. Anybody remembers that?
Oh, that's, yeah, I would use that for the node connections. Their map was was so good.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, do you guys think, with them adding, like, this kind of system to the game, do you think they should implement more in-game simulators or calculators of this nature into video, such as maybe like a built-in grind tracker, a built-in gear planner, or do you prefer, like, these resources be kept outside of game in websites like Garmot.com, BDOlytics?
I just think adding them to the game is just an absolute W. Counting on the community to literally hard carry your game for the entirety of time is,
yeah, thank God for Garmot.com.
Is thank a goodness. Horrible, horrible thing. Like, they're like, yeah, we added an enhancement tutorial. I'm like, yeah, what a joke, right? Like, I do think that, like, honestly, again, this is like World of Warcraft. It's like the add-on argument for World of Warcraft. Add-ons have ruined retail WoW for the most part. Like, you have no idea. And that's because they count on the community to hard carry their game for them. That is not what we want for BDO in the same token, for having to go to these other sites for this kind of stuff. Like, because then you could also, it opens the door for potential, corruption on things too. Like, you can't, like, you could have embedding and all this crazy stuff because people have to go to Garmot.com for stuff. And then if they start embedding again, it's really bad for everybody else. Like, it's, I don't know. There's a lot of disingenuous stuff that could happen if Perlabus just takes the wheel and just shows people how to play their game, or does things like this. I think it's just an objective W. It's a step in the correct direction.
Blon, what do you think?
What was the question? I'm so sorry. I was listening to Blue.
They add more in-game simulators and calculators into BDO? Because they're adding now this, like, mount simulator into BDO. Built-in gear planner.
I agree with what Blue said. I think that relying on the community is kind of, like, weak. I don't think that should be something that the game companies rely on. Although I understand that PA's perspective is everything's a mystery and will be figured out as you're a player. And, like, that's cool. I don't know. I think that, I don't think it's the way to go. I think that it should be something in game. If it's not overloading the servers and the systems and stuff like that to enter these simulators, I think that you shouldn't have to go to, like, third-party websites to figure everything out. If you want to find wiki stuff and, like, explanations for things, maybe guides for stuff particularly that an individual wanted to create, sure. But all the information should be able to be found in the game itself. You shouldn't have to be going to outside resources to even find out what XYZ random thing in the game means. I think it's pretty smart to add it to the game for the horses specifically, because that is a thing that we literally had to make websites, and there's like 5 websites I have for tracking them. So it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it is a little frustrating, but, like, again, any stuff like that added, I think, is an objective W. I do think we need to wrap it up. We've been going for quite some time here. I actually don't know how long we've been going for, because I don't know when we started. We've been going for a while now, so let's do closing thoughts. Post ball clarity. What's your closing thoughts on it? Jay.
Post Ball Clarity. Excited for the new region. Excited for the new dungeon coming out next month in February. I am gonna stay away from topics such as PvP because definitely a very spicy topic, and I'm not like, it's not really my cup of tea. But yeah, I will be doing some more progression on Deposed Crown Prince on Wednesday, so you can find me over at twitch.tv/JakeInVT, V before the T.
Jay, what was your favorite character in the fashion show?
Favorite character? It's the one that you're looking at right now. Yup. It's right there, right? Yup. Like, go. The one, you know, that shiny armor over there? Yup. The shiny one.
Yeah, oh, you want the shiny one. That would be this guy. Shiny. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Deadeye. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, he's not paying attention. Jay, we got to lock you in for these. Blonde, give me your closing thoughts, favorite character.
I was not ready.
Closing thoughts. I thought the ball, and this is something we didn't really touch on, but I'll mention it now. The ball, I know a lot of the disappointments in the past have been that the balls have had a lot of big things that maybe they didn't come to fruition. For some players that cared more about certain things or others, I think that this ball had a lot of promisable stuff, and it teased a few things that are in the future, but are just concepts, and I think that everything that kind of lined up, some of the dates they already set, I think that a majority of the stuff is pretty promisable. They didn't do anything that was too large or too big other than maybe talking about PvP because people have different interpretations. But the dungeon's coming. I'm excited for that. The new region coming. I'm excited for that. And I'm really curious to see what they're going to do by the summer because there's plenty of content to be coming out in the next like 6 months with everything they announced and still some of the stuff they announced in the last ball that we should be getting. So,
all right. Favorite character?
The red and white one. There was someone in the red and white. I think it was Karshan or whatever. It was like a. It was the.
This guy.
Yeah, right there on the right. Yeah.
That's the boy really right there. I think good choice. Good choice. Best face I think goes to this Dark Knight. There was a Dark Knight here before that was dressed up really well. I think that was the Death Grip, but he's not here now because he's a loser. So not that guy. Will give it to. This guy, mainly because it looks like he got held back for 10 years in school. I loved it.
Oh my God.
It's so good. Honestly, like he knew what he was doing when he created this character. I love it. I loved it. All right. That is going to be it from us on the Old Mood Podcast. Remember, guys, we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, too. And the podcast comes out basically the next day on my YouTube channel, where there's two new YouTube videos every day. So make sure you check that out. From all of us here at the Old Mood Podcast, have a great rest of your week, guys.